the Kaiser Chiefs and Ruby. Oh, I'm hungry now. Hello, how are you? Welcome to Evenings with BB Lynch. I'm in such a good mood and I have no idea why. And, you know, actually, I know why. It's because we've got a fantastic show lined up for you. A brilliant, brilliant show. I'm here with you till 10. Shall we do it? James and sit down. So how are you? Day 2,000,001 in the big BB house. And my latest thing is just posting photos of my arms on the internet, all over the internet. I've got muscles. BB guns, we call them. Let me tell you, I say we, me. Let me tell you about tonight's show. Georgie Standage is rock choir leader for Reigate, Epsom, Dorking and Hazelmere. And Georgie will be with us talking about Rock Choir 24, which is a 24-hour fundraising event in support of Mental Health Awareness Week, which is this week. My friend and, well, you know, he's also a fabulous music journalist, incredible writer, amazing editor of Record Collector magazine. Paul Lester will be suffering BB's personal playlist. Why do they agree to do it? And in a few minutes, editor of The Telegraph magazine and editor-in-chief of Stella, Marianne Jones, will join us to talk about her lockdown. It's going to be a great show, so please stay with us. Paloma Faith, Jonas Blue and Mistakes. I always loved the name Paloma. And I always thought if I had a girl, I might call her Paloma. And then I saw that there was a brand of tissues called Paloma, and it kind of, I don't know, kind of ruined it for me. So our guest, our first guest tonight is editor of The Telegraph magazine, editor-in-chief of Stella magazine, and my friend, Marianne Jones. Hello.
Good evening, BB. How are you?
I'm really good. It's, oh, Marianne, it's a voice that I know. Hello.
And now, and when last we met, it was in real time in an amazing Stella event, wasn't it?
Oh, and that was about a year ago, wasn't it?
It certainly was. Yeah, yeah. I was seeing all the memories coming up on on Facebook and Instagram, and it almost made me cry.
Oh, do you know that was Stella Live, and it was at the Saatchi Gallery. It was such a brilliant event, yeah. And I loved it.
Yeah, I know. I could weep because it obviously, like everything else in the world, it's had to be cancelled this year. But what are you going to do?
When did you make that decision?
It was all set for June this year. And obviously, you know, in March at some point, things were still semi-hopeful. But yeah. Then, you know, everything just seemed to tumble like a house of cards. And we just made the decision that it just couldn't go ahead.
It's just the reality, isn't it? But it's still kind of smarts. Where are you? So this is the most loaded question I'm ever going to ask you. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine, and I'm sitting in my living room of my house. I live in Kent, and it seems so bizarre that 8 weeks ago I was kind of packing up my things from work, and it was sort of emergency. You know, I was printing out loads of covers and loads of things that we had and going home, and now I feel like I've been sitting here longer than my first maternity leave. It's just bizarre and unreal. I honestly thought, oh, it'll blow over in a couple of weeks. This can't be happening.
That's what my head's doing as well. I just can't quite believe it.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure everybody's been going through the same thing. And so I've been every morning now, you know, producing it with our team on our respective kitchen tables via laptops and words I never knew a few weeks ago. You know, we're doing Slack, we're doing Zoom, we're doing, you know, Hangouts, and I'm quite a technophobe anyway, and I thought, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, I need a person. Get me a proper person. I've just got a cockapoo. You know, you just get your head around it, don't you?
Has it affected, I was thinking this earlier today, what's a magazine editor role, not your role, I know what your role is, but in terms of the content, is it kind of giving hope, or, but how far in advance can you work?
Well, actually, our lead times now are a lot shorter than they're meant to be. Lead time is the time, you know, that you have just before you go to press. And I mean, ideally, you like to have everything done, sort of 2 weeks on a magazine, on a weekly magazine before you actually go to print. But at the moment, you know, it, that's gone down to a week. Wow. For us, which is very short deadline to get everything done, sent off to the printers, printed. But I think it's a good thing, because then you're getting stuff that's more relevant. Yeah. We've had to change. I mean, first of all, people were wanting to know everything about, had they got the illness, you know, the ins and outs of it, how it affected them, how it affected their families. And then there was a sort of change in the magazine where people were sort of drowning in the whole misery of it, quite naturally. Yeah. But they were wanting something different, from their magazine reads as opposed to their, newspaper and website reads. And they were wanting something more uplifting.
Yeah.
So you've had, you know, and things change day by day, depending on announcements, you know. And so you have to just spin things and flip things and do things really, really, really quickly.
I mean, it's a, yeah, I mean, what a challenge, but actually I'm kind of exhilarating, which sounds really bad to say that, because, but I mean, there must be a buzz from that.
I mean, there is, but then also on the other hand, there's something really poignant about it. So our columnist, Diana Thomas, for example, she lost her father. I mean, she's our weekly columnist, and she, you know, very beautifully, movingly wrote about that for Tell Mag. And, you know, it's really, really, I mean, I've been very lucky. I haven't been hit. My family hasn't been hit. I miss my mother dreadfully, who's 79 and she lives in Shrewsbury. I can't see her. She's in the vulnerable category, but that's just, I've been exceptionally lucky. But you know, obviously, you know, thousands and thousands of people haven't. And so Diana wrote really, really movingly about her dad. But then you have to think about the balance of a magazine. You know, at the moment, our audience is getting an awful lot of everything they need from the paper, and it's obviously faster moving than the magazine. You have to provide something different. I mean, this weekend we did the Feel Good Power List. So it's all the people, the movers and shakers who've been actually making a difference, and that's something that you can do very differently to the paper itself.
I can't believe
you're providing,
I wasn't
something
on that.
Different. Oh, you know, you might have been number 51.
You are outrageous. Coming
on
here.
We'll try better. The cheek of me.
It's like that. My auntie, this sounds like a real off a tangent, but it's not actually. My auntie was a windmill girl, which I love. And you know, the whole
really?
Thing, you know, the whole thing of the windmill theatre, like during the war, it was like, we never close. And the whole point of it was just to, a kind of just a welcome distraction, just to give people joy and you know, hope that things will change. I guess that's part of maybe where the mags will go now.
Well, it's kind of reading the mood. It's just reading the mood. And as I say, it's changing day by day, week by week. I mean, suddenly our VE Day 75th anniversary issue, which we would have, you know, we'd normally have done as a celebration of the anniversary to coincide with the street parties and everything going, suddenly became exceptionally poignant because, of course, it was people talking about what they experienced and the parallels that it has now for them. And that in itself became a different thing. And also it was a feat in itself trying to get all the pictures together when you're not physically in the office. You know, normally we'd have what's called a lay down, which was, you know, you get all the visuals on the floor, you choose what your cover is, you'd have a bit of an argument about what should go on, you know, page 52. And you'd really debate it, and especially with something so visual. But we can't do that anymore. You have to make decisions based on what you're seeing on someone else's laptop on a Zoom call. And you have to work 3, 4, 5 times harder in order to achieve what you want. You know, basic communication skills or basic speech. You know, you're not face to face with anyone. I mean, you're used to it on the radio, but, you know.
It's weird, though.
Yeah, it's been tricky.
It's weird. What's coming up in this week's magazine?
We have an un. unbelievable exclusive cover by a very famous artist. So you'll have to wait until Saturday to see what that is. But the whole issue is amazing. It's going to be sort of essay based, which sounds boring, but it isn't. And it's all about the new beginnings, the new dawn. What can we expect to happen in our new normal? But going forward by very top, you know, our great writers. And it's absolutely fascinating. And we're imagining what life will be like a year from now, which will be very, very different.
It will be very different. I love that whole thing of people saying it's kind of reset. You know, it's just kind of, you know, a much needed, I mean, of course, awful tragedies, but that kind of much needed reset. Have you found any bonuses, or is there anything that's been happening to you kind of emotionally or even through work that you'll kind of take forward when we come out of this situation?
I think for me, on a personal level, I've realised that I've been going sort of full pelt with work for over 30 years. And I think, you know, joking aside, I did only take 3 months for my mat leave on for my eldest boy, which was actually stupid. Because I've got two boys, they're 19 and 16 now, and I'm actually, even though I'm working, you know, I can be at my computer now at sort of 8 as opposed to struggling in from Kent to central London. And so what it means is, you know, lunch breaks, they're there. Well, my eldest one isn't, because he's working at the moment, but my youngest, I see more of him. I'm going for long walks. I mean, I've been in Kent for 15 years. I live in Sevenoaks, and I've never been on any walks or even sort of to the local woods properly. And I'm doing really basic but very, very lovely things that I've just never had time to do. So I feel like I can just breathe. You know, me and my husband are take our dog for a walk at least once a day, together. And it's sort of making me kind of reconnect with where I live. Our neighbours have been amazing. You know, I'm having virtual Zoom conversations with friends I've not seen for ages. Kind of a reconnection.
I love that. I love that you're saying that. And there is something about just slowing down, isn't there? And letting it be what we're in. I'm sending you lots of love, and stay safe, and to all your
you
family.
Too, baby. And so we meet again.
It's so weird. And I can't wait to see the MAGA on Saturday. It sounds fantastic.
Oh, fabulous. Thanks, Phoebe.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Let's take a look at the weather. This evening it will be fine with hazy sunshine. It will then remain dry with long clear periods overnight and perhaps a few mist patches. Very mild with light winds, minimum temperature 6 degrees Celsius, that's 43 degrees Fahrenheit. Tomorrow will be another dry and warm day with temperatures building further compared to previous days. It will be largely sunny with just a few patches of cloud and light winds, maximum temperature 23 degrees Celsius. That's 73 degrees Fahrenheit.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC. Radio Sussex.
Eternal, Just a Step from Heaven. I loved all those girl groups in the 90s. I loved Eternal. I loved Sugar Babes. All Saints. I loved All Saints. But my fashion style was All Saints when I was young enough to do that, and now it's kind of All Saints Mum, All Saints Nan. I mean, who am I kidding? I love all those girls. And then TRC in America. I really want to be in a girl band. How great to speak to Marianne Jones. Can you imagine putting together a magazine, an incredible award-winning magazine at your kitchen table? All I've been doing is, like I keep saying, and I'm going on about it a little bit too much, but just arm exercises, 15 minutes every other day. They're coming on beautifully. I need to learn a lesson and to start achieving. Selena Gomez and Lose You to Love Me. I don't understand that. Lose You to Love Me. I'd love you to lose me. I lose love you. I don't know. In the second hour, I'm going to be talking to really great friend of mine who we met. We're going to details of when we met and how we met and all that when we're chatting. And it's part of the BB's personal playlist. We really need a catchier name for that. Maybe you've got some ideas. And the idea of it is right now when we're all at home more and maybe we have more free time right now, are we all kind of losing ourselves in music again? Because music is the best thing on earth. And if you are you taking this time to make playlists for people? Or do you remember mixtapes back in the... Where do we stand on people saying back in the day? Because I used to hate people saying back in the day, and now I keep saying it, and I'm kind of embracing it. It's a bit like... Yeah, I might say the other word. Back in the day. Anyway, I'm loving it. So I used to make... Well, actually, did I ever make a mixtape for anyone? I'm not sure that I did. I was lucky enough to have quite a few made for me. And I said, I was saying last week, I think. Who was I saying it to? I was saying it when Emma Pearson was on, my good friend Em, that I dated a music journalist once, and he, for my 40th, put together the most extraordinary CD, and I love my soul, and it was all these incredible soul songs and just my kind of R&B, and I think there were 40 tracks. Isn't that incredible? And because he was a music journo, he just had all that info that, you know, that they have. And he just wrote these incredible, almost like sleeve notes for each track. It was just such an incredible gift. I loved it so much. So yeah, I've been lucky enough to have loads of kind of mixtapes and playlists, and I love them. I think they're brilliant. And what we're doing on our show is I give the gift of music to people who are in my life, and I choose three songs that for whatever reason make me think of them, and it could be that it just reminds me of their personality, or there's a memory, you know, that we both share. What's hilarious is if I'll go, yeah, I remember that song, that reminds me of you, and they're like, absolutely no idea. They don't even know who I am, let alone the song. And I wondered if you wanted to get involved, maybe there's someone in your life that you're like, yeah, I'd really love to choose three songs that represent them or represent your relationship with them. We'd love to hear from you. So maybe you could, why don't you email me, bb.lynch@bbc.co.uk, and you could send in the who the person is, their name, their relationship to you, what the three songs are, and why you've chosen them. You can email me, you can text me on 81333 and start your message with the word radio, or you can call.
Call 0800 232 1045.
Radio Sussex.
Oasis and the importance of being idle. Those naughty Oasis boys. When will they make it up, Ollie? Ollie doesn't care. So you're listening to BB Lynch on BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey. Thank you for joining us tonight. So now we're going to talk about Rock Choir 24. This event sounds so fantastic. It's a 24-hour musical fundraising event in support of Mental Health Awareness Week, which starts today. And Rock Choir leader Georgie Standage is here. Hi, Georgie.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. Yes. Yeah.
I'm in a really weirdly good mood today. I don't know what's going on.
Me too. I've literally just finished a rehearsal with my choir members, so I'm like on quite a quite hyper high.
Do you feel quite psyched after?
I'm proper psyched.
Are
yeah,
you?
we were just singing "We Are the Champions," and yeah, you know, full.
Like, and thank you for joining us. I know you were doing the choir, and it was a big rehearsal because tomorrow's a really big day. So tell us about Rock Choir 24.
Yeah, it's a huge day tomorrow. So tomorrow, Tuesday, 19th of May, from 11 a.m, Rock Choir are broadcasting live a 24-hour singathon on Facebook. So at the Rock Choir, if you're searching for it, hashtag Rock Choir 24, and it's for Mental Health Awareness Week. It's a musical fundraising awareness extravaganza involving many, lots of our 32,000 members UK-wide, hundreds of our our members are key workers, critical care workers, doctors, nurses, and they've all told us how important Rockwire is to them. Many of them have sent in videos of the work that they've been doing, inspirational videos, and they're talking frankly and emotionally about that. We have got all sorts going on, absolutely tons of musical things that you can get involved with, and I think there'll be a schedule on Facebook, so yeah. You could, like, so many different genres and things that you can do throughout the whole day for the whole family as well, so it's basically a sing-along all day and it's going to be epic. I'm quite excited. I'm going to be tuning in as much as I can, and we're basically on the same day where Rockwire is launching a collaboration with the Mental Health Foundation, and this will be an ongoing sort of thing. I'm offering huge support to the many people suffering with mental illness and health issues at this time. It's a really difficult time, isn't it? And I think music tends to bring us together.
I think this sounds so fantastic. A friend of mine, Shelley, hi Shell, is head of teaching at Sing Up. I wonder if you heard of Sing Up, and it's Sing Up's an organisation, that promotes singing and the importance of singing in schools and communities. And and like you say, there are such huge mental health benefits, aren't there?
Absolutely, just so many. It releases in different types, you know, endorphins and things like that. Things, the chemistry that makes us feel really happy, but also brings together, especially when you're doing a choir, even online. We have all of our rehearsals have clearly moved online given the current circumstances, but it keeps this sort of feeling of family and support that we're there for each other. We're basically, not that I'm promoting any particular service, but you know, we can see each other, or you know, on our service. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. So, but anyway, but basically we can have everyone together online and still singing. So we have our regular evening rehearsals still as rock choir, where we're getting into the nitty gritty of singing technique. But also at 3 o'clock every day, we're doing something called Keep Britain Singing, which is basically something that we're doing right to the end of lockdown. And that is again for everyone. I mean, tomorrow is a special day. It's 24 hours of fun. And we've got lots of celebrities joining us who also think it's important. I think Jessica Lynn, Sir Cliff Richard, Michael Ball, I'm trying to remember everybody.
Lovely Jules Holland.
Yes, Jules Holland. I'm like just so excited.
Are they actually joining in?
Well, actually, I think they're sending messages and all sorts. I mean, Michael Ball has been absolutely amazing. He's often been involved with us at Rock Choir, and he sees the joy that it brings. And we've sung with him before. He's just wonderful. We sung a few of Jessica Lynn's songs. Our members are huge fans. We've got all sorts happening tomorrow, different types of singing. We just want the public to be involved, and we just want to provide as much as we can during this time, something to really lift the nation's spirits. And,
honestly, I wish I had an ounce of your energy. Come on, Georgie.
A lot of people say that, like, where do you get it from?
Where do you get this from? Is it baby sham? So you've got 32,000 members, which is just extraordinary. Has the membership risen during lockdown?
Well, I certainly have stayed the same, but online. But we have been, like, with the Facebook Live, I think we went into like 1.5 million homes across the UK. So certainly, obviously, like, times are really tough for people, and singing just brings people together. So yeah, it has become more popular for sure, and we're providing so many different types of services, because we know that everyone's in a different situation, and some people just want to sing along. And yeah, some people, you know, basically some people are now signing up for online rehearsals, and we're welcoming people brand new to the choir. Instead of walking into a room, they're walking into a different kind of a room, an online one. And these are just currently how times have changed, but we can still get magic.
Yeah, can you? I really hope you can, because there is something about, isn't there, just even hearing someone else's voice and just kind of working your voice to that voice. That's just magical.
Absolutely. When you're kind of surrounded by people, when you're in the room together, there's this wonderful sound. But the thing about being online is you can kind of get a little bit more into the technique and, you know, work on, you know, there are advantages I have found. So when we actually do come back together, I actually think that voice training and things like that will have risen, and their confidence as individual singers will have grown. So even though, you know, basically they haven't got someone else to stand next to as they usually would, they're kind of on their own, and they're doing it on their own. And that's a great thing. That's a huge achievement, like massive.
So Keep Britain Singing is something that happens, is it daily at 3 p.m? So if I wanted to get involved with that, I would just come to your Facebook page?
That's right. At the Rock Choir Facebook page, hashtag Keep Britain Singing, every day live at 3 o'clock. Different songs every day. We even take requests. Well.
What's the most popular request?
I don't know, but we've had some popular songs. Living on a Prayer, I think, was popular. we've done, so I can't even count the amount. I don't know how we've just done different songs every day, but then again, there are loads and so many songs.
Please say you don't do ABBA.
I think we have done ABBA. I don't know whether we've done it during our lockdown, but oh gosh, you've got to see some of the pictures of that. There's this wonderful choir leader called Tom George, and they did an ABBA date. I think we did an ABBA sort of tribute week or something like that. And he dressed in full ABBA beauty. He looked glorious.
Did he?
His hairy chest out. He looked glorious. Seriously.
We're sticking with glorious, are we, George?
Glorious. Glorious is just the only word I can think of. But yeah, beautiful.
So Keep Britain Singing. So we can all get involved with that every day on at 3 p.m. And tomorrow specifically, it's from 11 o'clock and we go to the Facebook page.
That's right, 11 a.m.
Give us that address again, the Facebook page.
At the Rock Choir. Yeah, that's right. At the Rock Choir.
Yeah. And then just go there and we'll be there.
Or I think you'll probably be able to search it for hashtag Rock Choir 24. As well. So, and it's 11 a.m. until 11 a.m. the next day. And literally, if you also like can't find it on Facebook for whatever reason, just go to rockchoir.com and there'll be links on there to our Facebook page. So you can find it through that as well. And anyone that would like to try online singing can do that. But yeah, during this time, I think we've got to come together and do some special things. And of course, we are raising awareness for Mental Health Awareness Week, and you'll be able to donate on the Facebook page. Text sing 5 if you want to donate £5, or text sing 10 if you want to donate 10. And the number is 70500. So if you want to donate at all.
And you are a rock choir leader at Reigate, Epsom, Dorking and Hazelmere. That's a lot of travelling.
Yes, yeah, so it's Reigate, Hazelmere, Horsham and Epsom, but there is Dorking nearby. Okay. Yeah. My choirs are widely spread, but yes, I am. Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
I'm in my 10th year now. Yes, I love it still. Love it.
Oh, and how did you get into it?
One of the choir leaders I met, he used to actually sing in my soul band that I had at the time. So we'd done this big gig at the Goodwood Festival with Speed, and he was like, why don't you come along and try it and sing? Because I wasn't very well. About 12 years ago, I have a chronic pain condition, and it was really getting me down. And he was like, listen, Georgie, you just need to sing for fun rather than for work. And he was absolutely right. So I actually joined as a member of Rock Choir to begin with for a year, and I loved it. And then he was like, maybe you should be a rock choir leader. And I was like, oh, yeah, that would be fun. I love rock choir.
I love that, because why is singing so brilliant? How is singing so brilliant?
Yeah. It is.
It's community, isn't it? And physically, it's great for you, mentally.
Yes. And the thing about a choir is there's this community and camaraderie, and you're traveling on buses together. I know we can't do that at the moment, but right now there is still spirit and that camaraderie. We're online. It's a different thing. And I say to my members, we're going to take something new from this. We're going to learn something new, and we are going to remember positive things from this experience. And it's like every, we, have all of us different journeys in Rockwire and all of us going through different things in life as well. And I think music always brings everyone together. It's something really special about singing, especially in a choir, because obviously I've worked in music for many years. Choir, there's just nothing quite like a choir.
I totally agree. Tomorrow sounds fantastic. I wish you loads of luck for it. It sounds fun.
And thank you.
Just remember the exercises, vocal exercises, and you know, some steam, some lozenges. Yes. Don't have any dairy.
No dairy. Yeah, just eat clean between now and then.
Have a brilliant time tomorrow. Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye, Georgie. Ooh, that was a lovely little ending. Sheryl Crow, All I Wanna Do. Welcome to the second hour of Evenings with BB Lynch on BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey. Thank you for joining me tonight. And please get in touch. Text me on 81333. Start your message with the word radio, or you can call.
Call 0800 232 1045.
BBC Radio Sussex.
So I feel a little bit giddy. I love this show. I love this bit of the show that I love. It's BB's personal playlist. We need something. I don't like that. The alliteration doesn't go far enough. We need to... BB's bangers? No. BB's personal playlist right now. And so, as I said earlier, we get someone I love on the show, and I choose three songs that for whatever reason remind me of this person, and we chat about this song, and they pretend to have heard of it and they never have, and it gets a little bit embarrassing, and then I never speak to them again. Sometimes that's a bad thing. It would be tragic if I never spoke to this man again. This has got dark really quickly, Paul Lester.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Don't ever speak to me again.
All I want to do is have some, have a miserable time.
This, how dare you? Before, I tell you what, we're going to have me and you are going to have a mutual go at someone in a second. This is the voice of my fantastic friend, amazing music journalist, fantastic writer, brilliant editor of Record Collector magazine, Paul Lester. I'm giving you a round of applause on my own.
Bless you. I don't know if I can quite live up to that, but
no,
thank
you. You can. How are you?
Go on then. Yeah, how am I? Well, I had a dose of corona, I believe.
You did not?
Yeah, I think so. I had a 39 degree temperature, chills, sweats, nausea, headache, breathless, couldn't walk. Enough about my first marriage. But I was really worried about it at one point. I was thinking of ringing the hospital. I didn't do that because I was actually too scared to go in.
So
that's what's been happening with me, and I've been off work, but I've been like putting the magazine together from home.
Since March. Can I just say something, and this might sound unsympathetic,
go on.
You've always felt that you were nauseous and breathless.
I've had an apocalyptic dread since 1986, the Libyan crisis. And then I felt a bit like the boy who cried wolf. But this time I was actually right. I was telling everybody, no, you should really take this seriously. There's a virus. It's spreading. You shouldn't go out. Wash your hands. You know, every item of clothing, torch it. And everyone's like, it'll be ridiculous. And then literally the next day, oh, my God, he's like the Messiah. He can foresee the future.
The Messiah.
Yeah. Talking of apocalypses, we mention this every time we see each other, but we were on the phone to each other during 9/11, weren't we?
Do you know, there's no song that represents that, but absolutely. So you were wherever it is you were living. I was on Elgin Avenue and I was watching the telly and we were talking and we watched it happen.
We did, yeah. I was actually in a tower block, so I was feeling quite nervous.
No,
I was
working
at a music magazine called, it's 2001, so I guess I was at Uncut magazine. Yeah. I think I'd left Melody Maker. But here we were on the 26th floor, and the idea of a plane flying into a building was making me feel very, very nervous indeed.
Can I say, I've had chirpier interviews than this.
I know. This is me, putting
you in a good mood.
Yeah.
Right, let's talk about something lovely.
Yeah.
When did we first meet? Can you remember?
We first met it was 1991. I think it was after a party?
It was at a party.
It was at a party, okay.
Yeah, in Brixton.
Was it Brixton? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think it was. Maybe it wasn't. Did you drive
you home?
To
Crouch, to Crouch End.
Yeah. And it was you, someone who's already sent a text in tonight.
Was it the very, very attractive Tony Hawkins?
David Essex, yes. It was LA's. It was LA's Tony Hawkins. Hello, Tony. He said, you're either whispering or your mic's down. Turn your mic up. Sorry, Tony. And I met you two, and it was love at first sight for me. Did you both love me?
You preferred Tony, though.
No, we can't stand him.
Because he's funnier than me and better looking.
I won't have it. What was your first impression of me? Keep it clean.
You reminded me of the young Lorraine, Janet Derek. Lorraine. I thought you were lovely. I thought you're out of my league. So I thought, well, there's no point in trying with this very attractive young lady. Also, I was impressed that it sounds like a terrible thing to say, but I was impressed that you wanted to be a journalist because I just thought that was a stupid obsession of mine.
Oh, really?
And that nobody else shared it because it was just such a ridiculous thing to want to do. Be a journalist because it's such a hard thing to do. It was always a hard thing to do then. It's probably even harder now. God, I'm talking to you on the day when rumor has it that Q magazine, which was the big blockbuster rock magazine, is about to go in June.
Are you serious?
The Press Gazette, which is a terrible sign of that. I mean, I did you know, as one does, one affords oneself 3 seconds of, is it Schadenfreude, and kind of, oh, that's we've beaten them. And then I thought, no, that's really, really sad.
Wow. I mean, is that just print, or will it stay online, or it's gone?
We don't know that yet. I think they're suggesting it might go digital. They have got quite a lot of followers on Twitter. But anyway, I brought the whole subject down again.
This is your gift. This is your gift. So we're at a party, and I think it was the Beatmasters party in Brixton. I've got that in my head for some reason. They were at the Strong Room, and we were all there, and we all met, and we all just loved each other, and it was just brilliant. We were like, the Rod, Jane and Freddie of the 90s. And then Tony went to America, and I forget
Tony,
him.
Tony, who went to America, who's a very good friend of ours, he then worked with the Beatmasters, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I think that's how we got to the party. Because I knew the Beats from Strong Room, and I think Tony knew them because he was doing, it was the T-Rex song 20th Century Boy.
He had a
sample from it. Yeah. Number two.
Big Boys Grown Up Hit Parade with a mashup, as the youngsters call it.
No one's ever said it. It sounds so natural when you say it though.
Has ever said. But it was a mashup of the Pearlin Dean cinema theme and Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin.
That was it.
I don't know what.
I don't know what I made up. That's why you're the music journalist. You're very talented, Paul Lester.
Come on. Really?
Are you still tall?
Name 11 things that support that theory.
No. Are you still tall?
Okay. I'm still I think I've actually shrunk a tiny little bit in because now I've turned 36. Mm. I've 15 years ago. But still very, very much a tall, bald man with Ray-Bans.
Oh, who? Poor Ray. So we met. So when was it? Oh, I can't even remember.
So I'll take you back to October 91. That's when we first met.
October 91.
It was basically, we met just before the height of grunge. I don't know what that means.
No.
We were like the Kurt and Courtney of Crouch End. Begsy B. Courtney.
We were both in Crouch End, of course.
I was living with my friend Darren. He used to sit there with his boxer shorts eating pizza.
Yeah, pizza, and, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you had a moth? Or was it a wasp?
I had a moth? What? You're making things up now.
Well, no, I'm sorry. It might not be you. It might be Tony. So this first track, I've chosen this. See, people do this, right? And I think they think I'm going to play songs that they're going to hate. And I would never do that. I love music so much. And I know you love it so much. And I'm giving you the gift of music. I'm gifting you the gift of music. I'm going to play this track because I know you love them. You ready?
Well, I'm so flattered that you even associate any good things with me. I mean, I really am. This is a real delight. So I'm really excited to hear what you've chosen.
So this is the Nolans, and
I really like the Nolans.
I love them too.
Great.
Are you ready?
Go on.
New Order and Blue Monday. So now, Paul Lester, I'm thinking actually you like Joy Division and maybe not New Order. Did you like New Order? But I love them.
I love Joy Division metamorphosing into New Order. In fact, oddly, and talking about
today,
Ian Curtis died. Yeah. Today or yesterday or the 18th? What's today? The 19th or the 18th?
Today's the 18th.
Today's the 18th, so he died, 40 years ago today. And I just read that Electronic Sound Magazine just voted that track that we just heard one of the key pieces of music of the last 75 years in the development of electronic pop.
And I knew that, and that's why I chose it for you.
That was the 1988 Quincy Jones remix, I think.
You are too much.
Is that true? Okay. Unless it was slightly different. It still sounds amazing.
It does sound amazing. Have you ever lost a music info fight, a music stat fight?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, especially, I was on a pop quiz once with people from record labels, and they really know their stuff. So that was embarrassing. I think I was on the team with Gary Crowley. We did all right, but we got slaughtered in the final few rounds.
Do you remember when I flooded Gary Crowley's flat? Do you remember?
Did you? On purpose, was it?
No, not on purpose. He was so lovely about it. He's a lovely man. I can't even talk about it. So my second track for you. Well, first of all, actually, tell me what's happening in Record Collector, the next issue.
Okay. Must I do a free plug? Oh, go on, then. We've got the latest issue, which is out on Thursday in some shops, and obviously not as many as there would have been a couple of months ago, but I think it's improving. Smith's is the stores are opening more and more every day. We have on the front cover Paul Weller talking about, we don't interview him, but we talk about every one of his albums, from The Jam to The Style Council to his solo releases, every album reviewed, rated and priced, because being Record Collector, our readers like to know what records are worth. That's a great front cover article written by Lois Wilson. We've got pieces, interviews with the Psychedelic Furs, who are back with their first album in 29 years. We've got Blood, Sweat and Tears interview, pieces on Iggy Pop. We interviewed the bloke from The Doors, not Jim Morrison, who died in 1971, but Robbie Krieger. There's a long piece on John Fox of Ultravox. Is this floating your boat in any way, shape,
or form? No, all I'm saying, yeah, all of it, Paul Weller especially. I love the Style Council, and I think they're so underrated. Are they allowed to be liked now?
Yeah, you can like it. That's a great point.
I love
because
them.
They were an embarrassment, and people sort of lambasted them after The Jam broke up. People felt kind of betrayed that, you know, their gang broke up and went away, and they came back as slightly foppish Europhiles. But I loved all of that. Oh. And I think that Ever-Changing Moods and Confessions of a Pop Group, that album from 1988, it got terrible reviews. I think that was fantastic. I think it was the best stuff that Weller ever did.
Oh,
very moody and dark and melancholy piano music, ballads and stuff.
Can you stop talking about Paul Weller and talk about me? Sorry. Why have you never commissioned? Why have you never commissioned me?
As far as I'm aware, tomorrow morning marks the moment where finally you get your column. And you wouldn't want to write for a – would you want to write for a
collector? Of course I would.
Would you?
Yes.
Leave it to me. I know the editor.
Let me – my last
– I haven't even told my story about Bernard Sumner of New Order.
Tell it.
In 19, very quickly, I went to America to interview them because they were doing a live link up with Top of the Pops in 1993 for their single Regret around the Republic album. And I was really such a fan that I met them, I interviewed them, we hung around by the pool and we were in LA and it was exciting. And I was so into the current album at that time, Republic, that I was singing it at the top of my voice that night in my hotel room. And after about an hour of this, I got a phone call from the room above. This bloke was really annoyed. He said, "For God's sake, will you turn it down? I'm trying to get some sleep." I said, "I'm so sorry." "Sorry, who's speaking?" "Bernard from New Order." So, the time I kept Bernard Sumner of New Order awake with my terrible, terrible pub crooning versions of their latter-day classics.
You've apologised. You must never say that story again, poor Bernard.
No, it wasn't funny then. It's not funny
now.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
One of the Beach Boys and Hamsters, one about Snoop Dogg doing the washing up. That's it. That's after 33 years of being a musician, I've got three stories. So,
Oh, I can't wait to see you again. Here's my second choice for you. This song has absolutely... It's Hall & Oates, right? And it's Kiss on My Lips. Well, I know you love Hall & Oates, but I haven't chosen this because you love them. I've chosen this because I love you, because you got me tickets to see Hall & Oates. You won't even remember this. Yeah. And I love this gig so much. Yeah. And I think it was the Royal Festival Hall. I went with my friend Gaz, and I don't know why you didn't come. You'd had an accident on your bike.
I had a series of motorbike crashes, didn't I, in the 90s. It must have. That's ringing a bell.
So I dragged Gaz along, and it was so amazing. And the gig was just incredible, and I think they're so amazing. And I was sitting next to Ray Wilkins. That's right, everyone.
Butch Wilkins.
That's right. Oh, look at you.
Yeah, that's football as well.
This is Hall & Oates and Kiss on My Lips. Hall & Oates, Kiss on My List. Oh, poor Lester. So yeah, I was next to Ray Wilkins, and there was one. Honestly, I know this half an hour is about you, but I'm going to quickly tell you this. Then I'm going to get rid of you, because I've had enough.
Where's your valuable me time?
I've had enough. There was the most amazing bit in the gig, right? There was a saxophonist, and he went for this really high note, and so the whole audience were watching him go for this note, and he was really, like, moving with it. And then he moved the sax away from his mouth, and the note continued, and it was only little John Oates singing.
Fantastic duo. I think the biggest ever pop duo in music history, bigger than Simon and Garfunkel, The Carpenters, and even Dollar.
Even Dollar. Linda Nolan follows me on Twitter, which has nothing to do with Dollar, but we'll talk about later.
So that's good.
Yeah, yeah. This is, and also, you also got me tickets for Charles and Eddie. Which one was Charles? Which one was Eddie?
Charles and Eddie. Oh, my God. I don't know. I didn't like them as much. Anywhere near as really? Much. I love. Well, we were talking about Tony Hawkins before. Tony and I were the sort of the Hall & Oates of rock hackery, because I was tall and fair, and Tony was swarthy and diminutive. I hope you don't mind me describing it.
You were the Hall & Oates. This was,
I've just decided that.
I'd call you the Cagney and Lacey, but sure, let's go with Hall & Oates. So, my darling, I love you. I really want to see you again soon. And you, Tony, I hope you're really well. And stay safe. I can't believe you were ill. I wish you told me. I wouldn't have done anything if you told me, but I wish you told me. This final track is I Think You Love These Noughties ever so much, and it's for you. It's I Want Your Love and Chic. I'll see you soon. Well, take care.
Fantastic. Thanks, baby.
Bye. Let's take a look at the weather. Tomorrow will be another dry and warm day, with temperatures building further compared to previous days. It will be largely sunny with just a few patches of cloud and light winds. Maximum temperature 23 degrees Celsius, that's 73 degrees Fahrenheit. Let's look at the outlook. On Wednesday, it will be largely sunny and it will become increasingly warm with temperatures approaching the mid-20s. Warm on Thursday too. However, there is a risk of showers or thunderstorms breaking out into Friday. A low pressure system looks set to approach and bring some rain for a time on Friday morning, along with windy conditions.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC Radio Sussex.
Outcast and Hey Ya. That reminds me so much of my nieces, Ellie and Lois. Lo used to do the shake it like a Polaroid picture in my face. What a great track. Now, we're in our upload 30 minutes. We love the upload section here at BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey. So have you ever thought about how things we may take for granted now have changed so much over the past few decades? Do you remember having to... I feel like this is a dig at me because I'm 88. Do you remember having to physically turn dials on your TV to tune it in? Yes. We can now channel hop by just touching our phone. Or do you remember the time when we had to wait hours or days to have photos developed? Yes. And we can now see them, obviously, the pictures, the second the shutter is closed. Well, Ray Heffer from Worthing had an interesting chat with his grandson about things like this recently. And here's a snippet from his podcast, Kids Now and Then, which is about children back in the 50s and 60s compared with kids of today. I've seen those on telly. That is so cute. I just love that. That was Ray Heffer from Worthing with a bit of his podcast called Kids Now and Then, when they're talking about, you know, waiting a week for the next episode of the show that you're loving. I mean, we've all watched Normal People, right? Have we all put ourselves through Normal People? Please watch Normal People. And then next week, we're on from 7 till 10 next week. Please get in touch with me and we will talk about Normal People. I don't think I'll be the same again after seeing that. And I watched it. I watched in one sitting and then I thought, I can't do 12 episodes in one sitting. So I saved the final two episodes for the next day. Please watch it if you haven't seen it. It's mesmerizing and incredible, incredible TV. I loved it. So that was Ray from Worthing with his fantastic podcast, Kids Now and Then. Here with me, Marshmallow Churches. That's beautiful. It's the first time I've heard that. So now it's time for our next upload. And this one is from Catherine McCreaney, who lives in West Sussex. It's a poem inspired by language and derivation of phrases. This is a turn up in the saloon.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
That's great. That's Catherine McCreaney with her poem, This is a Turn Up in the Saloon. Do you have some poetry that you'd like to share? Why not record it and upload it and we could be featuring it here on the BBC. Just head over to bbc.co.uk/upload and your work could be with us in seconds. Brandy and Monica, the boys mine, they are absolutely not sharing. I've really enjoyed tonight's show. Thank you for joining us. So you've got homework for next week and I'm serious about this. If you haven't watched Normal People, Ollie, have you seen it? No. Okay, unbelievable. You have to watch it, please. I think you will love it. And here's a weird fact. Right. So the lead actor, female actor's name, I was like, I recognise that surname. And the only person I'd ever met before with that surname was someone I worked with at a magazine about a million years ago. And he's gone on to be a huge name in TV. And I had a little Google and it's his daughter. How mad is that? Is that mad? I don't know. It just really impressed me. It blew my little mind. So please watch Normal People and then get in touch and tell me how much you love it. bb.lynch@bbc.co.uk. I really want to thank our great guest today, Marianne Jones, who was telling us about how lockdown's been for her. Georgie Standage, who's telling us about Rock Cryer 24, which is happening tomorrow from 11 a.m. And my great friend, Paul Lester. he's such a good sport. I love him so much. This really makes me, when I'm doing the playlist, it just makes me want to see my people again. We're going to, let's have our final upload. So yeah, our final upload tonight is from Flossie Jones, who is a singer and songwriter based in Brighton. And she uploaded her song, When It's All Over, to us. She says that she misses her friends and family dearly and misses playing shows and visiting the sea. And she wrote the song about the hope that everything will revert back to the way it was soon. And she's just dreaming about the days that we can see each other again. I think we all are. Stay safe, everyone. And we will see you next week.